Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to the Neverland Files podcast.
We are here, and Corbin, this is kind of your brainchild, so give us a lowdown on what we're doing today. It's kind of unique.
Well, we based our whole podcast off of the idea of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Going back to our childhood and reliving the movie magic of Disney.
Right, which lends itself to a few limits because then when, like last week, we did a review of Wish.
Yeah.
And we even ranked the nostalgic moments of that movie, which is hard to do with something that recent. Along with that, I was talking to my in-laws over the weekend, and they were talking about all the nostalgic movies that they remember in the that came out in the late 90s, like Johnny Tsunami and...
Oh my gosh, the Disney Channel movies?
Yeah, and I was... Yep. They were saying names, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
We weren't really a Disney Channel family.
No, but...
There were a couple of them, though, that I remember very well.
And the nostalgia was thick.
Yeah.
It was there.
And it's like, all of a sudden, this, like, umbrella of safety. People just open up. All of a sudden, like, their souls are glowing when they talk about things like this.
Yeah, lots of memories, and I wasn't really there. So, what I wanted to do with this episode is talk a little bit about the science of nostalgia.
Yes.
To help
and
us.
Also the psychology. Like, we're not going... atoms and electrons. Like, stay with us here.
No, we're not.
This
going
is really
that
interesting.
But looking at an academic article that explains what nostalgia is, and then we're going to dive into the feel goods of exploring our own nostalgia with some Disney themes, right?
Yes. And I will say this. About 20 minutes ago, like, Corbin was, like, pretty average Corbin. And then we started prepping for this episode and, like, having to, like, go back and think of, like, what things are nostalgic. And he, like, changed personalities in, like, 2 seconds. And so I feel like by doing this, we are proving the science of nostalgia and how powerful it is. It's incredible. So, Corbin, give us the academic rundown, the definition, if you will, of what do we mean when we're talking about nostalgia?
Nostalgia, yes. It's a word I think we throw out. Reflecting back, good feeling, positive. But looking at an article from Clay Rutledge from North Dakota State University, or formerly of North Dakota State University, he gave a little bit of a history of what nostalgia was seen as.
Which made me laugh when I read this.
So here we go. Ready? So in the late 17th century.
1600s.
Right. Which always confuses me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why do we do it that way?
Why are we making it hard?
It's like the minus one, what I'm saying. Okay. Well, anyways, long time ago, in essence, the physicians believed that nostalgia was a cerebral disease. It was a negative thing. It was a bad thing because there were Swiss mercenaries that were fighting far away from home. They would be hired to go fight these wars with other countries and things like that. And they saw it as a bad thing because they were homesick, and they connected nostalgia to this idea of, hey, I don't want to be here. I need to be somewhere else, which causes
problems. Or like, yeah, like a depression, or like they're just like, oh, I feel so unmotivated. I miss my home.
Right. And so this is problematic. So they termed it nostalgia. I can't remember what the
word.
It's
like it's home. It's homesickness meets something else, which I thought was really interesting. I was like, whoa.
Right. And so they were trying to figure out what's the cause of this, right? What is the cause
of this? Why do these people have this disease?
This disorder, right? And so some physicians believe that it was a change in atmospheric pressure, which I thought was hilarious because that is something our mom talks a lot about.
Hey, the atmospheric pressure is a real thing, but I love when scientists try and explain something like this with outside things. It must be
the other thing that they thought might be causing this nostalgic issue was clanging cowbells.
Oh, because they're from Switzerland and the sound sounds familiar and they're like, oh.
No, it was because it was causing damage to their eardrum and their brain. And so then when they left, that they had this nostalgic issue.
Oh my gosh, okay? They're overcomplicating it, scientists.
This is what scientists do, though. They're trying to figure out all the variables. What is unique about Switzerland that wasn't happening in other places? Why is nostalgia happening with these individuals?
Because Switzerland's awesome.
So ultimately, there were a lot of different ideas. A lot of it was revolved around negativity. But in the 1900s, we started to see nostalgia as actually not a negative thing, but a potentially positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you look at the Oxford Dictionary of English.
Of English.
From 1998, it defines nostalgia as a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past.
Oh my gosh, I love the word wistful. It's amazing.
So they dug into this a little bit deeper to understand, okay, where is nostalgia really tied back to? And they found that most common objects of nostalgia were people, followed by momentous life events. So when we're connecting with people or there's something significant that happens with around people is typically where nostalgia comes from.
Interesting.
Followed by meaningful events.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
And then along with that, the individual themselves has to be prominently featured in that event or that narrative in order for it to be nostalgic. So if when my in-laws were talking about these Disney movies, it's within a topic that I'm like, yes, Disney, let's talk about it. And then they start talking about movies that I've never seen before.
Yep, Disney Channel. And you're like, oh, that's not me.
Right. Even though I even recognize some of the movies, like Even Stevens and stuff like that, I've never seen it. So there's no nostalgic connection to
it. And you weren't in the significant moment with them when it was happening. So also within that family group, I'm sure they were sharing those experiences with each other.
Right.
So it was like, it wasn't just me loving Even Stevens or Johnny Tsunami by myself. It was the group of us together experiencing life events outside of this.
Right.
And then we bonded over this
movie.
There's
connectedness there.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yep.
So going back to this positive idea, what they found is that nostalgia is something that we utilize when we are trying to counter thoughts and emotions that are threatening, right? So when we feel anxious or stressed, in many cases, nostalgia actually helps us to continue to cope with the world because we reflect back on happy moments or things that make us feel good or connected to something bigger than ourselves. And it helps us to continue to operate in the world that we live in that's stressful and hard.
Yeah. So this is interesting because I honestly, I feel like my personality is nostalgia. Like this is how big of a thing this is for me is I asked a group of teenagers a few weeks ago, we were having a debate about whether you would want to like lose your memories or never be able to create new memories. And so I'm having this debate about, wait, so I either have to live with the memories I have now or I can never make new memories. And somebody asked, they're like, wait a minute, would this impact my personality? And I was like, and I started thinking about it and it just dawned on me like 3 weeks later. I was like, for me personally, yes. If I didn't have my memories, I would not be the person I am because my personality is so connected to nostalgia and like noticing and remembering things from the past that connect me back to my childhood and stuff. I like, it's just part of who I am. And I'm just like, who would I be without nostalgia? Whoa. Be a sad shell of a human being.
So
it'd be weird.
Does
Dory have a personality?
She doesn't have short term. She has short term memory loss. Or is it long term memory loss?
Long term, because she can't even remember where she comes from.
Right, that's right. But she's still quite happy, so maybe you'd be even happier.
I mean, I think there's an aspect. It's not like whether I'd be happy or not. It's would I be the same person?
Right.
And the answer for me is no.
Because nostalgia is that important.
Yeah, it completely shapes how I see the world and how I connect with the world.
So, in conclusion, from this article, they found that psychological threat triggers nostalgia.
Yeah.
So whenever we're feeling nostalgic, they hypothesize.
In this study.
They theorize that there was a trigger of something of some kind of threat, which again, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it does make it interesting because if I'm in a nostalgic form of being, like I just was a few minutes ago when we were preparing for this podcast, there was some external threats potentially or change or growth that was making me feel uncomfortable. So to go back and reflect on
things, I was feeling
happier again. Right. And then along with that, they found that nostalgia improves psychological health and well-being. So reflecting back on the good times is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be problematic if that's where you dwell and just stay.
Yeah, if that's where you're living.
Right, but from time to time, using that as something that helps you to continue to not become overstressed or feeling super anxious all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was in this article or in the video you showed me, but it also talks about like the benefits were self-esteem, increased self-esteem. People are more likely to be charitable. Like there's like, it's almost like you're connecting with people outside of yourself. And so you're more willing to see them and then feel like I want to help.
It's like going to college and then graduating and they ask for donations from alumni.
Yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, I remember all those good times I had in college. Or like if like you find a group of people who like connect with you over the same nostalgic things, then you're like more willing to be like, yeah, I'd love to help you out with whatever you need. It's right. a means of us connecting with each other.
Right. So there you go. That is our academic introduction into nostalgia, which I thought was fascinating.
It really is fascinating. I'm just laughing because this is like, Corbin, I'm so glad you're getting to have this moment because this is you. This is how you process the world. And I think this is important.
Right. And now we get to practice nostalgia by going through a few different categories of things that are Disney related that help us, that get us to that nostalgic mindset feeling. Right?
I will say this. I think it's interesting that I don't know that I completely agree with this idea that like nostalgia only is its most prominent when you're feeling under threat. I think that is true, but I'm like looking at myself and I'm like, am I always in a place where I'm feeling threatened? And so that's why I'm like, nostalgia is such a big thing for me. And I think that in some circumstances, yes, but I think in other circumstances, like I've just learned that there are things and memories that help me feel happy, whether I'm under threat or not. And so why not just allow myself to indulge them occasionally just to feel happy?
Yeah, I think in this article, they may have been alluding to the fact of if I want to get someone to feel nostalgic, it's easier if they are triggered.
Yeah.
With threat.
Which it makes it sound so negative, but it's not. Well,
it's
like you said, it depends.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's something that we're hardwired to feel that way to deal with the stresses that we have. But again, if we're all constantly in a state of nostalgia, I would wonder, are we not dealing with the world in the most appropriate way, right? We're constantly feeling like we're threatened when in reality we may not be, right? So anyways, something to consider and think about. However, let's get into the fun part of seeing what
Corbin's
nostalgia...
Corbin's tired of academics. We're getting into the fun part. He's like, let's do it.
Well, I mean, you can go read the article if you want to really dive deep. Okay, go for it. Okay. Cameron, do you want to lead us through these nostalgia categories that we came up with?
Yes. So we've got different categories of things from Disney. So we've got like songs and movies and stuff like that. And we each have had to come up with what is something that makes us feel nostalgic in this category. And we've also asked our mother/producer to give her answers as well. And I will say this. When I initially asked our mom, I was thinking, oh, just for fun, I'll see if like I just want to test out these topics and see if like they work on a human being.
Apparently,
like,
she was feeling threatened when you threw this out.
She whipped out her answers so fast, and she's usually like, she's like, oh, I don't really know, I don't want.
Let
and she was just like, boom,
it.
Boom, boom, boom.
She had them.
It was amazing.
All right.
Okay, Corbin. So our first Disney nostalgic category is a Disney song, something that immediately transports you back to that happy place.
Can we add a qualifier here real quick?
Sure.
You're building up momentum, and I just ruined it.
Yeah, so, as usual.
But
that's how we do things.
Thank you.
Momentum killer.
But for some of these categories, I don't feel super confident about.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna need some help. And I think the same thing falls for you as well.
Yeah. So we discovered that it's interesting because we both experience nostalgia differently, which will be interesting to get into.
So my song, because I couldn't, this was one of the weaker ones that I was having a hard time with, so I need help. I'm going to go with Lion King, Circle of Life.
Okay.
It's not my favorite movie, but whenever I watch that part of the movie, I'm like, why don't I watch this every day?
Mm.
It's that powerful.
Yeah.
It is
one of your favorite movies, Corbin. The way we reviewed it and talked
right.
about it, like, it was like, no, Corbin has got deep nostalgia about Lion King, and I did not know about this about him until we did the podcast.
Yeah, and what I meant by that was it's not a movie I watch all the time or that I'm constantly, oh, I need to watch that movie.
Deep nostalgia.
Yeah, there's deep connection there. And I was like 8 years old when it came out, or 9 years old or whatever. So
yeah.
There you go.
So okay,
that's the
movie,
that's the song I came up with. But I'm curious to hear yours. I might agree with you.
Okay, so we discovered as we went through this that I process nostalgia a lot through my ears. Like, sounds really are a big deal for me, so music's huge.
Okay, huge.
It's huge. Okay, so for me, I came up with You Can Fly from Peter Pan, but not the whole song. It's the like more gentle part where it's like, think of the happiest things, that like do 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 do, that little refrain. You
right.
put those seven notes together, immediately I am like, whoa. So for example, me and my mom recently, for funsies, randomly watched Peter Pan Returns, or whatever it's called, the second animated one. Have you seen this movie, Corbin?
I don't think
Return to Neverland with Peter Pan.
All right.
The opening score of that movie is incredible because it gets all four songs from the original movie. It gets the notes in this like big massive instrumental situation, and it hits that do 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 do, and immediately I like have goosebumps and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So for me, you get those six notes together and I'm all in. My mom, her little notes that are like
your mom
and my mom a mother, her little six notes, it's When You Wish Upon a Star. Whenever those, that little teeny do 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 do.
Oh, that's the intro of the Disney movies.
I know.
That's okay.
Anytime that comes up, she is like in.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I think we've all been conditioned to just
eat that up.
You're looking at a book, you're sleeping, that comes on and everyone's awake.
Yep.
Nope. Happiness is coming.
Yep.
I don't want to miss it.
Fireworks, beginning of, like you said, beginning of the movies.
Right.
Doo, 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 doo. Yeah, guys. Oh, so I agree with her. I thought that was a really good
one
as well.
That was a good one. I'm still okay with Circle of Life, though.
See, Circle of Life doesn't hit me like that, and that's
cool. That's because you're wrong. Because that's what we were talking about earlier, is nostalgia is the ultimate trump card.
When
you feel nostalgic about something, people cannot convince you otherwise that you are wrong. It's just like, it is something ingrained in my soul.
And they shouldn't have feel the right that they need to convince you you're
wrong.
We
should.
Like, it's, if you feel nostalgic about something, you really do have to like be open and be like, you know what? This person has a really powerful connection to this and I have to be okay with that. Because who am I to say, no, you don't? You don't know their past or what they've experienced.
Well, this is why we get into these debates and people, No.
Okay. So we've done our Disney song, Corbin. Do you have a Disney movie moment that kind of
hits
you?
It's the intro to all Disney movies, like we talked about. But it's the one where Mickey has his hand out and Tinkerbell like does this. What is his hand out or what?
What?
Mickey's got the
sorcerer's hat on.
Doesn't he have his hand out when he does the intro?
Corbin, I have. Oh, where it's like, da na na na. See, I remember it through the music.
Right.
I don't remember what the visual is. And the like Walt Disney signature starts signing itself.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I didn't remember that until I thought of the music.
Obviously, I don't remember that one. So I struggled with that one too. But again, the intro, very powerful, whatever that animation looks like.
Okay, this is interesting because for me.
Oh, dear.
I had a hard time with the movie moment because I was like, okay, what movie moment just like replays in my head visually? And I'm like, I don't know if there's one. So for me, this is kind of a cheat. I did my Disney movie moment is Once Upon a Studio, the short they just came out with.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Because you get all, it's seeing all of the characters there existing together as friends. And I immediately am like, oh my gosh, look at all of my friends there together. So even though it's a brand new short, it's just this idea of like this entire world that he created that makes that like it hits me full force, like how big of an impact Walt Disney had on my childhood to see it all there together. And it makes me feel really nostalgic.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. That works. I just feel bad about mine. I don't like this category.
That's okay.
I didn't do a very good job with this one.
It's hard because you like maybe that's not how you process things. Our mom immediately said Pinocchio becoming a real boy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, my nostalgia goes back a little further than everyone else's does. I was like, Mom, I didn't know you loved Pinocchio so much. And she's like, well, I don't know if I love it, but it's just how sweet and powerful that moment was for her when she was little.
Oh, there it is. There it is. This one.
Yes, he's in The Sorcerer's Apprentice. He has his hand out.
Right. And
some of you know exactly what Corbin's talking about. If you're an audio processor like me, you got the tune. Da-na-na-na. And the signature's writing itself.
I also liked the version of Mickey when it was multiple colors, but it was like the outline of Mickey, but it was like fanning open.
Don't remember that one. Oh, that must be in the 80s.
Okay, all right.
Sorry. How about the Steamboat Willie one?
It's not hard to go back to the... That one's good, but it's a little bit more recent. So
Okay, Corbin. Our next category is the Disney Parks nostalgic
Cannot
moment.
Wait.
Corbin is bursting to share with us what Disney Parks moments feel nostalgic to you.
Yes, right.
Are you?
I'm ready for the category.
Disney Parks.
Oh, well, no, it's like we're going to do smell, sound, all those things,
well,
right?
Well, so, okay, so we did break it down into the five senses, but I wasn't saying those have to be from the parks. It was just generally. So I was just thinking, like, a Disney... Okay, so for me, Disney Parks moment is our Magic Bend by Adventureland, New Orleans Square, and Frontierland. Anytime I'm in that place at night, I'm immediately transported to when I was, like, 6 years old.
Okay, that's like a culmination of all
like
the senses.
It's like Disney, or, like, fireworks, whenever right. they do the fireworks moment with Dumbo.
Okay.
I am back to when I'm 15.
I'll be more specific, if that's okay. Disney's,
I felt like I was pretty specific.
No, I mean, like, Disney smell. Disneyland smell.
I'm going to get to those in a second, but yes, go for it.
Because it's part of the parks, right? So
go for it.
Right. So we've talked about this before. Disneyland smell, it's got to be Pirates of the Caribbean. That musty smell, going on the ride, that is nostalgia for me as far as smells. Love it.
I have Pirates too. I also have Star Tours and Indiana Jones.
Star Tours has that burnt
I
space
feel like
smell.
Indiana Jones is the crown jewel. If I can smell that smell, if I can catch that whiff somewhere outside of Disneyland, I'm like, oh my gosh. I get Pirates of the Caribbean and Star Tours in random places in the world more frequently. But if I catch a whiff of Indiana Jones and I'm not in the parks, I'm immediately like, oh my gosh, this is so good.
You got this.
It's like a warm, like cinnamony, a little bit burnt marshmallow smell. It's really weird. I can't put my finger on it, but Indiana Jones has the best smell, I think.
Really? I don't know. It's more like the lighting for me. And the sounds, the creaking of the rocks and the dum.
Oh, interesting.
Like the ominous kind of cave-like sounds. So, yes. But I'll double check next time I go to Indiana Jones. They'll give a good whiff.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting because we all three of us, our mom picked Adventureland area with Pirates and Jungle Cruise. It's that chlorinated California water with the mist. You know, like that's really, that really gets all of us.
Love the
Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, not as much. I don't remember a smell on Splash Mountain. But
no,
Pirates.
There's other things going on Splash Mountain. We'll get to that.
Okay. One. Okay. Corbin, Disney touch. He wanted to put this in here.
Oh, we're going touch.
I didn't have a Disney touch that felt nostalgic to me.
Okay. So this is more of like a feel, kind of a touch feel thing.
Okay.
You've been walking all day.
Uh-huh.
And the dogs are screaming. They're barking. And you get on Pirates of the Caribbean and you sit on the bench, and that is the comfiest bench your legs have ever felt. So you plop down on that hard bench on Pirates of the Caribbean and your legs just get a little bit of relief without having to stand up. It feels so good. I love that. The hard bench, wonderful feeling.
Wow. Okay. I honestly have no feeling. Like I don't have anything that feels nostalgic to me in terms of feeling.
Can you recall that feeling of your legs just being tired?
Honestly, like
heavy.
if I really, really try hard, but it's not like, I don't think I'm like experiencing emotional or magical things while that's happening.
Oh, the relief is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm just not that attached to the
relief,
I've
got
I
a
guess.
Couple others. All right, you ready?
Okay.
Okay, next feeling, this is more with hands. Thunder Mountain, the lap bar, pulling that sucker down and you get your hand on the lap bar and you're just like... We are going to have a good time. And it's got that kind of cushion on it.
This is interesting.
The black cushion. You know what I'm talking about, folks, right? You just, boy, we're ready to go. We're happy. We made it to the front of the line. And we're going to have a good time for the next few minutes.
That one resonates a little more, but still, I wouldn't put it in nostalgia for me personally.
Okay,
but this is good. I'm impressed. You're thinking of good stuff here.
Okay, here's my next one. The Matterhorn. Getting your legs jammed into the bobsled and your knees are up by your nose, that's a wonderful feeling. And again, you know you're going for a good ride and your back is going to be adjusted for the next few minutes.
See, yeah, okay. Corbin, I'm learning you're a touch person. You process the world through touch.
You ready for the next one? This is my last one for this one. Okay.
He has to make up the difference because I don't have any.
Well. You tell me. You rank mine.
Okay.
How about that? My last one is Splash Mountain. Entering into the log and your feet immediately get wet with the cold water and it's just like, hoo, 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 hoo.
Nope.
You sit down on the seat and there's water on it and you're just like, okay, here we go. And you get going and after a few seconds, you don't even realize it. You're just like, I am so excited to be here. So the cold water at first is a little startling, but it goes away very quickly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm having a moment.
Oh, she had a nostalgic
this
moment.
This is so interesting because I am processing that moment of getting into the log so differently from you. For me, it's my ears. It's the log squeaking against the like rubber thing next to like where you're
the
getting
conveyor
in.
Belt. Oh, how, the like, squeaking, right? It's, squeak, kind of, it's like against the edge.
It's like foam on foam squeak as it's rocking as you're getting in. Right. That's how I'm processing that moment. Right. I am not thinking about the water or the feeling or anything like that.
You don't feel
like,
the water at all.
It's my ears. I'm hearing it in my ears right now.
Okay,
that is so weird.
I can
weird.
Also feel the metal handles that you to hold on to when you go down the
the
know,
feeling
in
is
the log.
Way, oh, guys, I'm so curious how you all like are processing these moments. Like, are you feeling it? Are you smelling it? For me, my ears, I didn't realize I had such sensitive ears. It's where it's coming for me. All right, Corbin,
I'm trying to think of the place in Disneyland that you put your hands on it and you just feel gross afterwards. Because you know other people have been putting their grubby hands all over. And I can't. Oh, the lap bar on Haunted Mansion. That's another one. Because it's usually don't pull down on the bar. You know, so there's an auditory as well as a feeling thing as well.
Haunted Mansion also has a smell. It's not one that it's not like a favorite smell, though. So I know it has a smell, but I'm not attached to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. Well, there's my touch.
Whoa,
feel.
Corbin.
Okay. A lot of feeling going
I'm
on.
I'm really trying to think if like. If there is somewhere that I... Oh, you want to know my one where I feel grubby after touching it? Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters.
I was
going to
say Buzz Lightyear.
Because it looks... Last time we went, it looked hammered. Like, the paint's peeling off of it. It really looked like it needed a little refurb. So, yeah, I was kind of like... Ugh. Anyways, okay. Are we ready for our next category?
Yeah, let's do our next category.
Corbin, your next category is Disney Taste.
This one's very simple.
Churros.
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 And it's like Del Taco does similar churros, which are really quite spot on right mm-hmm. there. But it's having the like 2 foot long or the 3 foot long churro yeah. and just on the crunch. And you're just like, oh my goodness.
See.
And you're like kind of offering it to other people to share, but really you don't want them.
Yeah. You're trying to be an adult.
Yeah.
Here, but you really want to be a kid.
I don't want you to have any, but I'm offering you some because I don't want to look like the guy that's just shoveling three
so
of these
nice
in my mouth.
So nice of you to always offer.
So. Yeah.
My Disney taste is based off disappointment. Whatever people like, there was this place like an hour away from our house that was advertising that they were selling Disneyland Dole Whips at their snow cone stand. And I went and had one. I was like, that's not it. Like, do not tell me this is a Disneyland Dole Whip when it's not. So mine's more based off of disappointment when it comes to taste because people say that they're offering it and you're like, then you have it. And you're like, nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Why were you? What were you doing out there? Why don't you go in the park and get a Dole Whip?
An hour from our house,
oh,
as opposed to 12 hours away
right.
in the car.
So you're oh.
Yeah. So my taste is more based off disappointment.
Remember, nostalgia is a happy thing. It's a positive thing, not the disappointment. But
sorry.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the taste okay. was just yeah.
I'm sorry about
all right.
That.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Sight, Corbin. Anything that you see visually that just instantly reminds you.
You know, this is a kind of a strange one for me.
Okay.
We always talk about Tomorrowland needs an update.
Yep. Oh, no. Is it nostalgic?
There's one area that is nostalgic. It is seeing astro orbiters.
That's pretty.
Lit
so
up at night.
So if they were to change that, would you feel disappointed?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I would miss that. It's a visual entrance into the world.
Uh-huh. You know what I kind of miss?
The land, excuse me.
I don't know. I feel like they've put these in and removed them so many times. I don't know if they're still there right now. Those like golden rocks that were like jutting out of the ground as you
by
walked in.
By the astro orbiters?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are those still there? They
yeah,
keep taking
yeah.
them out and putting them back in.
We usually don't walk that way because it's such a congested area. We take back roads to get around
yes.
to places. I believe they're still there.
The astro orbiter, interesting.
Yeah, the like lit up like circles and like how they're going around. You know, it's just.
So I have one for the parks and one for the movies. One for the parks, as I said, we have our Magic Bend where it's like
right
where Pirates of
the Caribbean lanterns.
Is. But specifically, seeing the Mark Twain lit up going down the river is like prime time. And one time we rode on the Mark Twain at night, and that was magical watching. Disneyland go by with the lights on the boat.
Was it magical watching everyone watch you be magical?
It's magical both ways. So good.
The other one is Thunder Mountain. lit up at night. It's always lit up at night. Like, you know, the nighttime stuff with Disneyland is just extra special.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, hey,
okay,
it's late night. Yeah. Now we're going to get some good rides in.
It's getting serious.
Yeah.
Okay. I have like a controversial question. I'm going to make you choose. Which, if you can only keep one, which are you keeping? Thunder Mountain lit up at night or the castle lit up at night? Which one is like feeling more like that pull, that nostalgic pull? Because I feel like the conflict is the castle feels like the logical right question, but I feel like you emotionally are more attached to Thunder Mountain at night.
So we just turn off the lights on the castle.
We're
not
we're like,
it.
Which one gets lit up at night?
Oh, Thunder Mountain. That would allow for less congestion in front of the castle. Then the stupid, excuse me, the dopes that are taking pictures all day in front of the castle, they get out of the way.
Oh,
I guess
man.
It's a good thing though that then they're not on the rides. But you know, honestly, like the number of selfies and
Corbin, we all want to preserve our nostalgia. Maybe that's how they're processing their experience.
It's the girls that are between the ages of 14 to 22, and they're all posing, and they're like, and you don't want to get in their picture because this is really, they're really posing hard. You can see the sweat coming down their brow for how long they've been posing for.
Gosh.
But you got to get your Instagram shot, you know? And I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to be in the background staring.
Ruining everyone's
awkwardly.
Pictures.
And ruining your picture, right? So I'm sorry.
My Disney site for movies, if they could make this come true, I would be thrilled. I mean, it's based off of Disneyland, so it's almost there. But like, I want to live in this place. Is the castle, but the newer castle before the movie starts
with the waterfall?
Yes, where there's like. The train is going by. It's like there's a village behind the castle.
You
where
want
people,
them to reroute the train in front of the castle?
No, I want them to create a place where people can go live in this village with the train there and with the Pollyanna houses and with the castle and with the river and the pirate ship going down the river. I want this to be a real place.
Okay.
That we can go and live. I love that shot. It's almost like if the movie can live up to that opening shot, then it is a true Disney movie. If it can't live up to the magic of that opening shot, then I don't want any. There you go.
I just can't wait for them to hear this. Create this place, and then you ask how much. You know how much those houses would
cost
to live there?
You know what you're doing right now? You're squashing my dreams with realism, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, the realism...
Because when I'm saying I want it to be real, I'm saying I want there to be Captain Hook, real Captain Hook on the pirate ship.
Oh, okay.
I want Mickey to be driving the train. Like,
is that a thing on the...
I want this to be a
intro?
Thing.
Is that a thing on the intro? Is Mickey driving the train?
I don't know. Now you're fact-checking my dream.
Sorry,
Can you just live there with me instead of poking holes in it?
Because I just think about the resort right next to California Adventure that we want to stay at multiple times. We've tried to stay at. And it's like $800 a night.
Yeah. But that wouldn't even quite be it, though.
But
it'd be close.
So that's and that thing is booked. So can you imagine this place that... Anyway, sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I want you to be there. But I just... I don't know if I could help you get to the front of the line.
But it's okay. You don't. I'm not like my dream. Like my life will not be complete until this happens because I acknowledge that not real.
You're very good about keeping your dreams
separate
from reality.
I can let myself dream without being like, how do I make it happen? Dream squashed. Dang it.
I just want you to live your dream, Cameron. That's all. Okay.
Let's see. How much is it going to cost? Okay. Thank you for that. Oh my gosh. All right.
Oh my gosh. Oh, darn it. I don't have a Disney site in movies.
That's okay. Do you have, Corbin, a Disney sound that feels nostalgic to you? This isn't a song. This is just like a noise.
Okay, that makes a little bit more complicated.
Again, I've got the ears, so if you don't have something, I've got some for
well,
you.
Well, I was thinking more like song, so Walking Down Main Street USA.
Oh, yes.
Adventureland, which is more like birds and like noises.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrowland has that weird thing
electronic.
Going on. It's great, though. I love it.
I can't even imitate it.
Tomorrowland. That's what it means. And I'm about to get me a salad, a chopped salad from the restaurant and go enjoy it by myself.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds. Yeah. Tell me your sounds that you came up with.
So I've got the whistle when your ticket gets scanned when you go in.
Does it still do the whistle?
Does it
still do that?
I hope so.
I don't think it does that anymore.
Well, it should, because it's ingrained. Maybe I do it in my memory when I go through, even if it's not actually
you
happening.
You whistle.
Because it's so good.
I was like, welcome to... Why are you whistling?
It's so good.
That was a good sound.
And then I have the really deep woo-hoo of the Mark Twain on the river.
Oh, you like the Mark Twain.
From anywhere. Like, you can hear it, and you're just like, oh my gosh. It's so good. But I think that also ties into... when I was in San Francisco last and we were up on the cliffs looking at the bridge and it was all fog and you can hear the fog horns, like that was amazing. So I'm thinking those two things are like very tied together.
I think your squeaking sound is good at Splash Mountain. There's a similar,
yes, the squeaking sound.
There's a
yeah.
similar sound in Pirates when the boats run into each other and they're kind of jostling.
Yeah, and
bit.
You're like, we're all going to die. Like they just fly into each other. Like somebody's going to get whiplash one of these days.
Another sound that's very recent that is becoming more nostalgic for me is in Galaxy's Edge, the gonk droid.
Gonk. 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 Gonk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that sound.
Or like when just hearing like the Millennium Falcon. Like it's kind of revving
engine.
Up.
Yeah. And then it turns and then it shuts down.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some good sounds.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like nostalgic sounds from movies. I would say R2-D2 anytime, or like a BB-8. Anytime I hear those like little droid noises, it just fills my heart with glee. I had a little small BB-8 and you could push its tummy and it would like make its little noises. I was like, wee-oh. And I'm so sad it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, I have an R2-D2. It doesn't work anymore either.
Oh, see?
And my Baby Yoda never worked. It's right here on my desk. And
does Baby Yoda make noises?
Apparently. He has a speaker
coos.
On him. Yeah, he coos or gurgles or something. But
I'm trying to think if he ever...
But mine doesn't work. There's a speaker there.
I feel like a lot of my nostalgic sounds are from Star Wars. Because they have such a unique catalog. Like the Jedi, when you have a lightsaber and you click it on, it's like...
There's also more of content, so it just keeps replicating. A lot of the Disney animated films, there's not, it's kind of a one-off thing.
Wiki. Mickey's whistling. Steamboat Willie whistling's pretty good.
That's pretty good, but that's also part of the intro. So, anyways.
It's
yes.
this intro.
Good
the
sounds.
Intro's a powerful thing.
They've conditioned us. It's a problem.
And we're completely acknowledging it right now. Okay, Corbin, our last nostalgic category is games or activities. In other words, things that are not... the parks and are not movies that we can do at home or we have done at home
right.
or other things like that.
I will go with mine since it's probably going to be a disappointment for all of our listeners because it won't make sense to them. But this is what I came up with. The activity was in our drawer of movies, sifting through the paper VHS covers find the perfect movie to watch that is Disney. Do you know what I'm talking about right
yes.
now?
Yes. Those nostalgic VCR cases are iconic.
Like, it's like the Mickey Mouse shorts.
Yes.
It's got Winnie the Pooh
mm-hmm.
paperback movie covers.
That are like all, like this, you had the ones that opened and then you had the ones that were like slip covers
the
that
slid
would just
over
go
the
over.
Top. Right.
Yeah.
Some people are like so confused right now. But
if you are a 90s child, you know, guys,
right.
you know.
Yes. I love those covers. I don't know why. And you'd open it and you'd squish the middle of the paper together. Anyways.
You're having another touch moment.
I did.
Corbin, you're such a touchy guy. Who knew?
You know another touch one? Thunder Mountain, waiting in line, rubbing your hands on the rocks.
Where everyone's put their boogers in their germs. I'm just kidding.
Cameron's put her boogers in. Are you a big sicko?
Not.
Also, the chains in between on the lines when you kind of hold your hand along the chains and you're just waiting
Corbin,
for your ride.
I am learning a whole new dimension to you.
The posts, the leather-wrapped posts. For the logs that make up the fence.
This is an entirely new world for me with you.
And the tops are all sanded nice and smooth. Also, I don't know, it's probably because people have been rubbing with their hands for years and
like
years.
There's like human hand oil.
It was
oil.
Rough when they opened the
we never
ride.
Need to oil this wood. It's been naturally oiled. All right. My games or activities. I'm going to say some of these, and some of them you won't understand, but some of them you may. It may start to hearken back to you. So when I was in kindergarten, we had just gone to Disneyland for the first time that I remembered. and I made a cardboard vehicle out of a box with like little shoulder straps.
Right.
And I would put friends. This was during recess. I brought this to school, kids.
Your box to school?
Yes. I would put people in there with me and run them around like we were on the Indiana Jones ride. That memory is so potent to me. So that's an activity that I did.
I cannot believe the teachers let you do that.
I don't know what was happening. I don't know
how. Are you sure that wasn't a dream?
I'm sure. I think I must have brought it for show and tell or something. So it's not like I had it every day. I just happened to have it that day for show and tell. And my thing is, I'm like, how were kids running around in this box with me without getting left behind?
I don't think they were in there. You're just running by yourself.
Corbin is trying to ruin my memories. No, Corbin, I did have friends, okay?
I know you
for
did.
For 2 seconds, I had friends.
You were incredible at making friends when you were little.
Friend! After we did this, they all ran away and didn't want to be my friend anymore, so it was fine. But that memory is
that's
so
really
potent
cute,
to me.
That's a really cute thing. I want to see that if that's for real.
Oh, so potent. We'll have to ask Mom and be like, Mom, was that real? These two you won't understand, but they are... There is a Instagram account and they go back and find like YouTube videos that show these like old 2000s website games that like they're not full on video games, but like where you could like dress Barbies online and stuff. They had one where you could design your own Incredibles superhero and they would like generate a name and a logo for your superhero.
Right.
And you got to pick your own superpower. And they had one where you got to design your own Disney fairy. So you'd get to like pick the hairdo and pick the outfit and the color of their outfit and what kind of fairy they were. Were they a water fairy or were they an animal fairy? And this was just so much fun. It was so nostalgic. Okay. Here are a couple, Corbin, you will recognize. Pod racing on the Nintendo 64.
Yes.
Always played at Anakin. I still to this day, I'm like, Camera, you're an adult. You can pick someone else to play with. But there's that part of me that's like, no, I can't. Anakin's the only one that's good.
Well, he's also the fastest. But I picked other ones. I was very good about diversifying selection.
Most of the time, it was Anakin.
Never
versus Anakin.
Saboba.
No, never. We never played
he's
with Saboba.
He's the bad guy, folks.
And then I have three battle Star Wars games. Battlegrounds, where you got to design your city. And you had to like fortify with an army and have like farms to generate food and you were mining. Holy smokes. Battlegrounds.
You can, that, folks, 4 hours, easy. You could waste 4 hours so easy on that game. Blink of an eye. Long car trip, take that with you. You won't even realize you moved.
Oh my gosh. I have Yoda's Stories. Do you remember
Yoda stories? Yes, that's a good one.
Little teeny, like, pixelated characters, and you'd walk around and talk with Yoda and then go visit different planets.
Yeah, we Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk?
You'd ride in the X-Wing.
Oh, my gosh. And my last one is Battlefront on the Xbox. That is still, to this day... our classic.
I'm so glad you didn't pick that dorky Jedi game that you take turns hitting each other with or whatever. So glad you didn't pick that one. Well,
Corbin,
done, Cameron.
That is such a fun game. Guys, I have a lot of Star Wars games, but I didn't start playing those until I was older, like in college. So there isn't like the nostalgia.
Until I had matured.
No, there isn't the nostalgia there for those games.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Because our mom
didn't
like games with like lightsabers where like you killed people. Which, why we had Battlefront, honestly, I have no idea, but...
Because it's a quality game.
It's so fun. Guys, hot take, the new Battlefront, it's not as good. I'm sorry, it's not. They peaked with Battlefront 2 for the Xbox.
Whenever we play that game, I'm always a sniper, and Cameron's on the front lines, trying to take down the enemy, and she's like, are you sniping again? I'm like, maybe.
Corbin just, I don't even feel like he's playing. Because he just sits there. I just don't have the patience to snipe.
I take out more guys than you do, but I just never die. But
well,
you're
no.
just like in the throes of it. Just
but
like,
I always go and get the command post, and you're just sitting up in your tree like, pew.
Clearing the way for you.
No,
you're welcome.
I'm clearing the way for me. Oh,
my
gosh.
You get
gosh.
There, and you're like, oh, there's a command post that no one's at. That's odd. Exactly. I've been doing my job.
I've been doing my job.
Very efficiently.
Oh, my gosh. So anyways, as I was thinking about it, I was like, I don't know how this happened, but Disney and Star Wars video games were a very big part of our childhood.
I think we should wrap up this podcast now so we can fire up some more, because I'm feeling the nostalgia. There's an itch, and it needs to be scratched.
Mission accomplished. So guys, those are all of our nostalgic moments. Here's what I would encourage you guys to do. Go have these conversations with your family, and maybe it's not Disney stuff, but just like find that stuff that you shared memories with in childhood. And like, get giddy over it, because it's so much fun. I am so sad when people feel like I can't like kids stuff anymore because I'm an adult. No, you go enjoy it if it makes you happy, and let it just take you away for a minute and experience and bond with people over it, because it really does, like, it can completely. I watched Corbin transform into a okay day, average day adult into a giddy child in 5 minutes. So
I was dancing in the living room.
He was. And then he was like, we've got to go record. This is so fun. So it's powerful stuff, this nostalgia.
So there you go. This is what our podcast is based off of. How do we reconnect with the Disney things that make us feel happy, go lucky?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to experience some more nostalgia, please continue to listen. Let us know what your nostalgic moments were from Disney movies, theme parks, whatever it may be. We'd love to share those with the rest of y'all.
All right, we'll see you next time. This has been another episode of the Neverland Files. Join us on Substack for additional episodes and fun Neverland Files content. Thanks for listening.